Over recent weeks, we have been working on our faith-building campaign. We have been building our faith muscles. We've been on that diet of faith. And as we've been putting in those Bible verses, we have certain verses on our list, and we're already on list number 2 now. And we've been putting those in. We've been reading them. We've been letting them go into our eyes, letting them go into our ears because we're reading them out loud, or sometimes somebody else is reading them to us. We're speaking those words. We're making it a part of us because we want to get it in our hearts. It's not about memorizing it. You know, we don't just want to memorize and regurgitate. You know, we want to have it in our hearts so that it's automatic. So the promises and the things of God and the things that God has said and fulfilled for us is in our heart, and we just automatically start to do it. We automatically start to receive it. We step into the blessing of God and the favor of God, and it begins to just churn out of us. And that's how it starts to work. Now, last week I was talking about the kingdom of God and how important the kingdom of God is. I talked that Jesus said the reason that he was sent, the purpose for which he was sent, is to teach the kingdom of God. So Jesus' number one purpose was to teach the kingdom of God, to preach about it and let people know what the kingdom of God was. And I talked about how before he came, nobody else talked about the kingdom of God. So here he came because that's that important. And he also said, seek first the kingdom of God and then everything else will be added to it. Meaning, his purpose was to teach the kingdom of God. And the number one thing that we should be doing is receiving the kingdom of God. And then everything else will come after that. We will receive everything else. There's all this stuff that we want. There's happiness. There's love. There's, you know, a successful job. There, you know, all this other stuff that we're desiring in life. But God says if we seek first the kingdom of God, then it'll come. It'll be added to it. You know, we don't have to struggle for that. We have to learn the kingdom of God. So if Jesus was saying that his purpose is to teach the kingdom of God and was saying for us our number one priority should be learning the kingdom of God, then we determined last week, yeah, that's what we want to do. We want to know more about the kingdom of God. Now, if you missed that sermon, you can go back. We have it on podcast, we have it on video, and you can see it again, and you can watch it again and again until you really get it into your system. I need to know this stuff about the kingdom of God. But one thing I didn't talk about last week is there's a major key to the kingdom of God. How do we unlock the power and the authority that God has given us to get into that kingdom of God, to use that power that the kingdom of God has? Because I talked about the kingdom of God is power. It's not in word, it's in power. How do we unlock that? How do we use it? It's very simple. The name of Jesus. Today I want to talk about the name of Jesus. Because a lot of us have kind of put aside, you know, it's not politically correct, we shouldn't be using that, you know, well, let's just talk about God, or let's make it more generic or something like that. But I want to get it into your guys' system that the name of Jesus is the key to the power. It's the key to doing all the things in the kingdom of God. It is the key to fulfilling the promises or receiving the promises of God. They've already been fulfilled, but to receive them, it's in that name. Now, a name. The name of Jesus doesn't just mean a name. It's not like just something on a name tag. When we talk about the name of Jesus, we're talking about his qualities and his characteristics. We are talking about Jesus himself. When we call upon that name, we invoke Jesus. He is here with us. His power is with us. So when we use the name of Jesus, we have his power. Anything you remember him doing, if you know a story where he healed somebody, or where he cast out a demon, or where he walked on water, or where he calmed wind, when we use his name, that same power is with us. We have it now with us when we use his name. You know, some of you might know about using names, if you're name droppers. You know, you might have gone to a party and you might have met somebody who was a name dropper. Well, I met so-and-so, you know. I met that Cindy Crawford girl. You know, you just kind of drop the name. And why do we do that? Why do we drop names sometimes? You know, I've done it. I've gone somewhere and said, oh, yeah, I saw Sharon Stone. Why am I doing that? Because suddenly the other person is going to think, wow, this guy's important. I'm important because I'm dropping somebody else's name. You know, I learned this when I was a young guy and I used to go to nightclubs. You know, for a single guy to get into a nightclub, it is practically impossible. They treat you like you're a two-headed monster. You stand in this long line, and the line goes around the corner. You're lucky if you can even see the club. But then I learned a little trick. There was another line. And in this line, if you knew the name of somebody that worked in the club or that promoted for the club, you could stand in that line and you could tell the people that name. Oh, it's Jimmy. Yeah, I know Jimmy inside. And they would let you into the club. You didn't even have to pay a cover charge. And I was like, hey, this is cool. Because I used Jimmy's name, I got in. Funny thing was, I didn't even know Jimmy. I'd never met Jimmy, but I learned this trick and I heard other people using Jimmy's name. So I was like, hey, it's Jimmy. I'll get Jimmy, sure. Hopefully Jimmy still worked there, I was hoping, as I got into line. But it opened the door to this nightclub. And I learned that, wow, that's great. But the same thing is true, in a greater extent, of course, when we're using the name of Jesus. Jesus is the key to opening the door. He said, I am the door. And when we use the name of Jesus, we receive that power, we receive that strength, and the door is open for us to step into the kingdom of God. And that means step into the kingdom of God. Remember, I said the kingdom of God is not a place, so you're not going somewhere else. The kingdom of God is within. The door that you're opening is the power of God in your life, the power of God to begin to flow out of you, that same power that Jesus had. So we have to understand how important the name of Jesus is, how the authority comes with the name of Jesus. Now, a lot of people have been, you know, I think we have forgotten how strong it is. We have forgotten the authority and the force that comes with it. And as a result of that, we have kind of set it aside. Oh, that's not right. That's politically incorrect. That offends some people. Let's not use it. You know, I was thinking about this morning as I was kind of getting ready and getting, you know, putting myself together. And it came to me how funny it would be if somebody came to your door and they knocked on your door. This is Jim. I'm here in the name of the FBI. Open the door. And what would they do if you opened the door and said, I'm sorry, sir, but that name offends me. I think that's really insensitive that you would use that name because I'm a criminal. And when you say FBI, that hurts my feelings. I don't want you to use that anymore. And you close the door. Jimmy says, oh, I was insensitive. How crazy was that? I should have been more thoughtful. Jimmy knocks on the door again. Hi, this is Jim. I want to ask you a few questions. Hello? What are you going to say? Huh? I'm not opening the door to know Jim. I don't even know who Jim is. See, right away, that is foolish. That'd be so foolish for an agent of the FBI to do. Why? Because his authority is not in his name. It's not in the name of Jim. It's in the name of the FBI. The authority comes by the department which has given him that power, given him that badge for him to go around and question people and find out where is the crime happening, how did the crime happen, who is the criminal. He has no authority if he doesn't use the name. Now he's just Jim. Would you open the door to Jim if you didn't know who he was? Would you answer questions? No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't do it. And that's the same thing for us. When we take the name of Jesus out, we throw away our authority. Now I'm walking around as Ted. Oh, I'm going to heal somebody in the name of Ted. What does that mean? I mean, is anybody going to take that seriously? Is that going to mean anything? That doesn't mean anything. But we got to know that that's where our authority comes. When we're walking in the kingdom of God, if we want to utilize the authority, we use the name of Jesus. Let's go down here. This is Matthew 28:18, and this is Jesus speaking. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus has all authority, both in heaven and on earth. And he went and fulfilled all the promises of God. Having received this authority, it wasn't just for himself, it was that he could give it to you, so you could use it in your life. And now when you call on the name of Jesus, what does that mean? You are calling on all the authority in heaven and on earth. You have the power over heaven and earth when you use that name. If you don't use that name, you don't got no power, you don't got no authority. You've got bupkis. It ain't there. So we got to remember this. Now, this is the thing is, I think a lot of us have forgot that because suddenly people are saying it's politically incorrect and we shouldn't use this. No, we should use it because this is where we really need it. We need the name of Jesus because that's where the strength comes from. Let me read another verse here because this is one. This is from Philippians and this is chapter 2. And listen to this. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth. Again, this is talking about the authority and the power that Jesus has. Every name should bow. That means when you call on that name, you've got the power and the strength of Jesus right there within that situation and that circumstance. That means if you put that name on whether it's your bills, if your bills are piling up and you don't feel like you can, get that debt paid down, you can put that name on there. And it starts to bring resolution. You start to find solutions to. Perhaps you get a better job, because you put that name on there. You can put it on also health. You call on the name of Jesus, you can heal sickness. It doesn't matter what it's called. It can be called cancer. This name, the name of Jesus, is above all names. It is above those names, the name of cancer. That means you put the name of Jesus on that sickness, over it, and it has authority and power over it, meaning that it casts it out, it heals it, it changes it, because Jesus is there in the midst. When you call on that name, Jesus is there with you. You have invoked him to be with you so that you have that same power, you have that same authority, you have that same healing ability. Now, when they first were starting the church, when they first began, right after Jesus was resurrected, the disciples were going around. And they were healing in the name of Jesus. They were casting out spirits in the name of Jesus. Now, this is what's interesting is this was Paul. And now, let's talk about Paul. Now, here's what Paul was trying to do when he was called Saul. Because he was trying to stop this. He was trying to stop them from using the name of Jesus. And I just want to show you this for a moment. So Peter starts to say Paul, who was Saul. Saul starts to persecute those people that are using the name of Jesus. Why? Because everybody that was using the name of Jesus was getting results. They were having healings take place. Demons were being cast out. Lives were being changed. People were being liberated. People had strength and goodness in that name. And this is the same power that you have. Now, as Saul saw this happening, he wanted to stop it. And so here he is, and he gets, let me read this from Acts 9:14. And here he has authority from the chief priest. This is Paul. He gets authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. This is the name of Jesus. So what Saul was doing, he was going after anybody who was using the name of Jesus. Why? Because the name of Jesus is the authority and the power to change, to bring victory, to bring liberty. It brings it out of you. And it had to be and so he had to try to bind them, it says. Bind them up so they wouldn't use this name anymore. Now we know what happened to him as Saul was on the road to Damascus, right? He's riding on the road to Damascus and then suddenly the Lord appeared before him. And let me just read that part. Okay, as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now notice what Jesus said here. Jesus said, Why are you persecuting me? Now what Paul was doing is he's going out, and he's binding these people that are using Jesus' name. Jesus has already been resurrected. So it's not Jesus that's doing it. It's the people that are using Jesus' name. So he's going out and using this. And so here Jesus comes, though. It is him because we are the body of Christ. Say amen to this.
Amen.
I think you guys are falling asleep here. Say amen to this. This is something to get excited about. This is something to get riled up about because... If we use that power and that authority, things change. So we want to get fired up about that. We want to know this is how important it is using the name of Jesus. See, Saul was going and trying to bind them up Because it was working. When you call on the name of Jesus, it works. And they didn't. They had already killed Jesus. They said, that's it. We finished with him. He's dead. There's nothing that they can do. And then suddenly, here his disciples and all of the followers still are performing miracles in Jesus' name.
Amen.
They're still performing miracles in his name. It wasn't good enough that they killed him. Why? Because when we call upon his name, we still have the power. We still have the authority. We still have the strength to heal sickness, to cast out demons, to be freed, to prosper, to have blessing and favor upon our life. And that's what we need. Say amen to this.
Amen. We receive it.
And see, this is where we're going. We need to get clear in our mind that if we take that name out of there, we have no authority, we have no power, we have no strength, we have bupkis. And we don't want that. We want to have that strength. This is what brings the change in our life. This is what brings the blessing in our life. This is what brings the everything that your heart dreams of, that you want to achieve, that God has put into there. When you begin to call on that name, and this is what the people, I think, really understood in the beginning. They did not let themselves be swayed in any way from losing the use of that name, because they knew when they used the name of Jesus, something was going to happen. They said, in the name of Jesus, and they stood back because they knew power had been released. The power of miracles had been released. The power of God had been released in Jesus' name. And they stood back because they knew something's going to happen. Today, the only time we say Jesus is you're hammering something, hit your nail. Ah, Jesus! Because we have forgotten that the power is in it. This is the key to the kingdom of God, and using all that authority and that power is by using his name, by calling upon it. And in the beginning, they knew that. Look at this. This is in Acts 4, 17 and 18, and this is Peter and John. Now, Peter and John, disciples of Jesus, were going out, and they're healing the sick. And they find this man who had been lame from birth by the gate. He was out there begging, asking for something. And Peter and John went out there, and instead they said, we don't have anything to give you, but we can give you this. And they gave him healing in the name of Jesus. Now, this guy had been known, the guy that was healed. He suddenly jumps up. He's running around. He's not just walking. He's running. He's running around because he's been healed. And now all the people in the town, they recognize this guy. He was sitting out there year after year after year begging because his legs didn't work. His whole life he had been out there begging. And now they see him running around. Well, the authorities got a little worried about this because they said, whoa, we can't deny that this was a miracle. We can't deny that something happened to this guy, because the people, they can see there was something took place here. And so they're thinking, what can we do? What should we do? We got to do something to stop this. Isn't that funny? We got to do something to stop this. So here's what they said. Look at this. So that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. Peter and John, let us threaten them. That from now on they speak to no one in this name, the name of Jesus. They're going to speak anymore. And so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. So they told Peter and John, don't you use this name anymore. You use this name anymore, man, we're going to string you up. We're going to kill you. We're going to throw you in prison. We're going to beat you. You don't use this name anymore. See, they understood the power of this name, and they were trying to stop it from being used. They were trying to stop it from being used. You know what Peter and John said? We got to do what's right in God's eyes. I'm ad-libbing here. But we got to do what's right in God's eyes. Amen. We're going to use the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to use the name of Jesus because we know that's where the power and the authority is. No matter what they said to them, how they tried to threaten them, they would not stop using that name. Because they knew that's the key to the kingdom of God. They weren't going to be guilted into politically correct or offending somebody by not saying it. Because they knew, much like that FBI agent, it's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous, and it's a way of stripping us of our authority. We have to know the power and the authority that comes when we use Jesus' name. We have to know that we are opening up the heavens, and that when we say it, we should step back because we know something's going to happen. How many things do we do in the name of Jesus? We pray in the name of Jesus. We baptize in the name of Jesus. We give thanks in the name of Jesus. We gather in the name of Jesus. All of this is being done in the name of Jesus. Why? Because he fulfilled all the promises of God. He fulfilled it and opened the way for us to live in the kingdom of God, to have heaven on earth, to have power over sickness and darkness. He did all that. Now, this is interesting. Let me go to this part here. Now, this is kind of a key point. This is from John chapter 14, verse 12. And this is Jesus speaking. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Meaning you'll do the same things Jesus did. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do.
Amen.
So we have to use the name of Jesus. We have to use that name if we're going to get the same results Jesus did. He said it himself. He said we can do the same things that he did. We can do the same things that Jesus said and greater things if we use his name. If we use his name. Now let's go to a second one here because this is an important point because some people get confused. This is John 16 and I'm going to be starting reading verse 22. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. This is Jesus speaking again. You will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father, meaning God, in my name, he will give you. So don't get confused. You're not asking of Jesus. You're asking God. Whatever you require, you're requesting of God, you're demanding of God, but you're doing it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus is when it's answered, okay? Because this is something sometimes people get confused. They begin to talk to Jesus or pray to Jesus where really you're talking to God, but you're invoking the name of Jesus. You're using the power and the authority of Jesus to do that, and that's when he hears you, and that's when he answers. How well does this work? Let me tell you a story. Because you guys aren't very excited about the name of Jesus yet, but after I'm done this story, you'll be excited. I'm telling you right now. Because you don't understand the power that comes with this. You don't understand the ability that you've been given in your hands. You know, let me say something else first. You know, in the Old Testament, they had a gazillion names for God that they had to call upon. And there was a different name. If you wanted a blessing in your life, you had to have a different name of God. If you wanted a cleansing from God, there was another name for that that you had to know. There was another name for healing. There was another name for being sanctified. Everything had a different name. I don't know if I would have made it because I'm not very good at keeping track of names, as you noticed. And yet, in the New Testament, there is one name. There is one name above all names that has all authority in heaven and earth. I mean, it's like it's made easy for us. All we need to do, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what we need, no matter what's happening, we call upon the name of Jesus, and that power is released, and it is done in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I mean, isn't that great to know that? That yes. We only need to know one name? We don't have to be geniuses here. We don't have to have photographic memories and remember all those different names that we need and figure out when do I need to use it and how do I need to use it. No, you just call upon that one name and it'll do it. The same as in the Old Testament, they had many sacrifices. Man, you had to sacrifice a dove for this particular sin. You had to sacrifice a goat for that one. You had to sacrifice a lamb. Sometimes it was two sheep. Sometimes it was an ox. Sometimes it was a camel. I mean, how do you keep track of all that? In the New Testament, there was one sacrifice for all of us, and that was Jesus. And that's how he fulfilled all the promises. That's how when we call on the name of Jesus, we have all authority and all power. Now, I heard this story. There was this lady, and she got out of her car, and there was these two men. They were up to no good. They were going to do something to her, and they grabbed her. One of them grabbed her and he ripped her jacket and her blouse as he grabbed her. And as these two men were kind of tussling with her, instinctively, she just said, Jesus. And the one man let go. And she noticed it worked, so she said, Jesus again. The second man let go. And then she noticed, she said, Jesus a third time. And both of them looked at her with a fear in their eyes and they go running down the street away from her. She was like, wow. Well, later they caught those men, the police. And they brought her in to ID them. And she said, yep, that's the two guys, that's them. And as the two guys were being led out of the room, one of them said, let me ask you a question. Can I ask the officer, can I ask her a question before I go? Okay, so he paused for a moment and he said, who were those two big guys with you out there on the street? She didn't see any guys. But when you call upon the name of Jesus, you've got the power of heaven. You've got angels. Say amen.
Amen.
You better get excited about this name because it's got power.
Amen.
And she called upon this name and the power of heaven was released to protect her in that situation. And these were angels that were now standing with her and watching over. And those men ran in fear for their lives because she called on this name. Say amen, because
amen.
This is good stuff.
Amen.
I mean, this is good stuff. This is what we need to know, the key to the kingdom of God. We just have to call upon that name. We have to know how much power and authority is there. We have to know the miracles that come when we use that name. But here's something important that we need to know. We're building our faith. We're in the middle of this faith-building campaign, right? Why are we building our faith? Because we are building our faith in Jesus. See, he's the one that fulfilled the promises. He's the one that made all the promises of God, all the things that God said he would do for us, all the blessings that God said he would give us, all the favor that God said he would give us, how he would make you great, how he would raise you up, how he would cleanse away all your sins, all your misunderstandings, everything that stands against you would not stand. God made these promises for you. And it was Jesus that fulfilled those promises. So we're building our faith. We're building up that faith muscle because it's faith in Jesus. It's in what he did, how he fulfilled it, how he brought the kingdom of God that we're building it. And we want to have strong faith in him. When people are coming like these guys did against John and Peter, they're trying to erode their faith in the name of Jesus. They're trying to get them to back down. They're trying to get them to back away because they want the authority and the power. They don't want everybody to have it in the name of Jesus. They want to have it. And so they try to get you to back down. They try to intimidate you and say, oh no, you can't lose your faith in Jesus though. You got to build your faith in Jesus up, because if you don't have it, let me show you what happens. This is kind of an interesting story. This is in Acts 19. Now, there were these Jewish exorcists, and they were casting out spirits and stuff, and they heard about Paul and the success that Paul, now this was the Saul that became Paul on the road to Damascus, right? He's now an apostle, and he's believing in the name of Jesus, and he's working in the name of Jesus, and amazing things were happening when he was using that name. And so they heard about how Paul was having great success casting out demons in the name of Jesus. So these guys decided to try this. So here, this is Acts 19, verse 15. And they said, we cast you out in the name of Jesus. And the evil spirit answered and said, this is the evil spirit talking to that was in the man. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the men in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house, naked and wounded. These are the exorcists are fleeing out of the house. This became known both to all the Jews and all the Greek dwelling in Ephesus. Okay, so what happened here? These Jewish exorcists decided, we can use this name of Jesus to cast out this spirit, but they had no faith in the name of Jesus. They didn't believe in Jesus. They didn't believe that he had fulfilled the kingdom of God, that he had fulfilled all the promises of God. They just thought it was a cool trick that Paul was using, and they will use it. But you see what happens when we don't have faith in God, faith in Jesus, we don't have power in him. We don't have that power. So we can't let people take away what brings us the power, and that is the name. The name of Jesus brings us the power. That's where it is. And that's what we want to use. And we need to use it no matter whether we're threatened, whether we're intimidated. We need to keep building our faith muscles because we're building faith in Jesus. That's where it's going to happen.
Amen.
And that's what we want to do.